From Nashville, Tennessee, it's the weekly Grace Church Nashville podcast. Feel free to follow us on Twitter at Grace Church Nash and use the hashtag located in the podcast description. And now here's Lyndall Cooley with this week's message.
I talked to you last week about a third voice, and I've gotten some really good letters. Thank you so much. The third voice always talks to you about old realities, old seasons, the familiar things. It tries to keep you stuck where you are. It's constantly. Anytime the Lord gives you a vision and you start to step out, that voice starts talking. And what's so funny about the third voice is it speaks some truth. Because faith is always speaking the impossible things. And sometimes the third voice of the enemy in your head will talk to you about the obvious things. Well, obviously you can't do that because of that. Well, it's pretty obvious that you can't do it. Well, it's pretty obvious. But see, faith never speaks obvious. It always speaks what's impossible. Faith, and faith is one of those things that you can't please God without having. So if you're sitting there going, man, I don't have any, well, that's a lie. You have faith. You have to exercise it. You have to use it like a muscle. You have to use it for it to get strong. If you don't use it, it doesn't work. You have to believe God for something. You have to stand on something. And you got to quit floating down the river of life like flotsam on top of the water. And you've got to realize that God has a purpose for your life. And it's not maybe even what you think it is. It could be around the bend of the river. God has something totally different for you. But you're paddling in the same stream, the same puddle, the same swimming hole. And you will not move. And the third voice wants to keep you lodged there, sitting safely on your inner tube, paddling against a current that's trying to take you to where God wants you to go. But you're sitting there going, I don't know. I don't know what's down there. It might be a waterfall. We might die. Well, let me tell you something. You're not going to die obeying the Lord. You're not going to go under obeying the Lord. You're not going to fall obeying the Lord. He's going to catch you. But you must have faith. You must believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You've got to say goodbye to old seasons. They're killing you right now. You've got to stop trying to get America back like it was in 2018. You've got to stop it. You got to stop trying to wait on Trump to come back into office. My Lord, please. Just move on for heaven's sake. Can you please? Besides, there's not a man on this planet can fix the mess that we're in. None of it can be fixed. No president, no dictator, no one. There will be a man who rises soon who thinks he can fix everything and momentarily the earth will believe him. He's called the Antichrist. But I'm telling you, he can't fix anything permanently because the only way peace is ever coming to the world is when Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is ruling from Jerusalem. I'm just telling you, that's going to be peace. So get good. Get used to crazy. It's just really.
I'll be happy if everything's settled down. Well, it's not going to.
So get happy now. I'll be happy when things aren't so troublesome. Well, get happy now. Get happy in the trouble. Have a bubble in the trouble. I mean, just come on. Have a joy bubble right in the middle of a volcano. I mean, just joyful. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, by hearing the Lord, and I'm going to talk to you about that. I'm going to kind of revisit some things from a few years ago, but I felt like I needed to come back after that third voice message and talk about how to hear the Lord. Because the third voice is always trying to confuse you. The minute Satan speaks, he brings confusion. Let me tell you another thing about the devil. He doesn't run from the glory of the Lord like you think he does. He's very familiar with it. And he knows how stupid we are and how inconsistent we are. He knows humans really well. So he'll sit right outside the door where the glory is visiting and wait. Because he knows he'll get a moment. Serpents always crawl in cracks, always looking for an opportunity. Now, I don't fear that, right? But I know that happens. So a lot of times, the greatest time of glory and presence of God is the time that the enemy will come immediately to try to steal the seed. Jesus talked about it. Immediately, he tries to steal the seed. Whatever God's doing, he tries to steal it from you. He's a thief. He's not only a thief, he's a liar. When he speaks lies, the Bible says it's his native tongue. He can't speak any truth. He will always twist it. And even when he does speak the truth, he always adds a comma, and then it's a lie. Truth, comma, lie. When you're listening to the third voice, you can't clearly hear the Lord's voice. But I got to thinking, I started looking through notes, and I thought, I want to talk to them real quickly about how to hear the Lord's voice. How do you know if it's you, if it's God? How do you know if it's the devil? How do you know if it's just what's going on in your life? Maybe happenstance. Maybe it's just that. May not be either. May not be God. May not be anything. Well, go to Matthew 6:23 with me, and put this up on the screen. Matthew 6:23. But he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." That's what you're mindful of. You're paying attention to the man. Jesus is rebuking Peter because Peter is speaking out of his head. He's speaking from the third voice, not by the Spirit of God. He didn't know what God's will was, and Jesus is saying, You know what man would know, but you don't know what me and my Father would do. You don't know. See, our issues too, sometimes as we wonder, is God in this thing or this decision I'm about to make? Where's God in the pandemic? Where's God in all that's going on? How can I hear God's voice? I get that's my number one prayer request as a pastor. Would you pray for the will of God in my life? Well, there's nothing in here that says to do that. So why would I do that? Not one verse that says pray for the will of God that I've been able to find. It says know the will of God. It says seek the face of God. If you're looking at his face, you know his will. And intuitively, as a child of God, you know how to hear him. You've just forgotten. So I'm going to give you some ABCs of simple things of how to hear him. Ready? Number one, you can tell it's God by the way he approaches you, by the way he comes to you, what he says to you, how he says it. God will not force himself on us, but he will deal with you. He will talk to you secretly and quietly. He'll move on you in your spirit, and he will talk to you sometime in dreams. Somebody says, I don't know about all that dream Isaac had. Well, that's in the Bible. Young men will dream dreams. Old men will see visions. That's me. Y'all dream, I have visions. I never thought I'd get this old. Sometimes he'll speak to you through a sermon. Sometimes he'll speak to you through a song. Sometimes he'll just send conviction of the Holy Spirit that'll just go, you know what, you really need to do this. You'll feel the pull, right? The sensitive people to the Lord immediately respond to the pull of the Lord. But the longer you negotiate to obey that pull that you feel from the Lord, the longer you negotiate, the more room you give the third voice to speak. And the third voice will confuse you. Oh, that we would become people in this hour to immediately, quickly respond and obey what the Lord's saying and not negotiate with God. Well, God, if you'll do this, however, Satan will force himself on you. He'll try to enslave you, condemn you, and berate you. Satan is a climber. He will always look for another way. He'll bombard your mind. He'll give you unsound thinking, but the Holy Spirit will appeal to your sound mind. Is this helping you? Number two. I talked about this years ago, but I felt like, man, on the tail of this, I needed to do this again because I really want you to understand how to combat the third voice, how to hear the voice of the Lord. Number two, You can know it's God's voice by its relevance. Jesus always emphasizes today. Today. If something's talking to you about yesterday, it's probably not the voice of the Lord. If something's trying to drag you back to yesterday, if something is trying to cause you to have shame for yesterday, if something's trying to tell you you should have redone a season, let me tell you about that. Trying to redo a season is trying to be God. You cannot relive a season. You cannot undo bad mistakes. So if you're feeling bad and guilty trying to serve the Lord over bad mistakes you've made that you cannot undo, then you are listening to the third voice, and that is not the voice of God. And I don't know when the Sam Hill, pardon my French, that you're going to wake up and realize that that's the devil and not give it a concert hearing. You got to shut it down. Wait a minute. That's not about where I'm at right now. That's about something I have no control. Y'all going to have to get some guts. Bunch of sissy Christians.
I've just been beaten up by my past. Whose
fault is that? Recognize it's the voice of the enemy and cast it down. Pull an Isaac. Tell it to name it. Get out of my house. Get out of my head. Get out of my room. I can't fix it. Some of y'all are living in a past mistake of a divorce or something you've done wrong. And you're going, man, if I just wish God, if I'd have done it different, all of us would have done it different, right? We would have done it different if we'd have had a do-over. But most of the big things in life don't have do-overs. So you can sit here and be a punching bag for the enemy, or you can go, you know what? I have repented to the Lord. I have asked God to forgive me. I've asked the people I've wronged to forgive me. Now, I guess what I'm going to do now is just hear what the voice of the Lord's saying and just move on, because God has got something that he's probably going to open up another door and allow me to get some salve and some oil out of it and pour it on those past wounds and heal them up, because he binds up the brokenhearted. This is so elementary, right? Matthew 6:24, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I love it. That's a realist right there, Jesus is. We're instructed over and over, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the past. When you start living tomorrow before tomorrow comes, you get into anxiety. Your priority is today, not tomorrow. Quit making a 50-cent problem into a $5 million issue. You got to stop it. Most of the people you think are mad at you aren't even mad at you. Most of the people you think are going to do you wrong probably won't. Most of the business deals you think you're going to lose, the house you bought that you think you're going to lose. For 4 years I lived in a house thinking I'm going to lose everything I've got. And one day I came out of my bedroom and I went, I'm so stupid. Do you know what? I've lived here for almost 4 years and not had one day of joy in this beautiful home. Couldn't enjoy it because scared I was going to lose it. My assistant Cindy and I crunched numbers hard before I ever bought the place. I can afford it. But just in case the air conditioner goes out, and what if this happens? What if that happens? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this happens? What if that happens? Blah, 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 blah. Stealing, sucking every bit of life out of the moment you're in. Every bit of it. Gone. None. Christian zombies. I don't believe in zombies, but the walking dead. Should be alive. Should be enjoying the day. Can't enjoy it because of their past and because of tomorrow. And we call the devil dumb. Number three, you can know it's God by the appropriation of resources. God will never lead you to worry about inadequate resources. When Jesus fed 5,000, the disciples couldn't help but get frustrated. So Jesus said, I can see him rolling his eyes, can't you? How are we going to feed him? I don't know. There's not enough food. That's us, right? God's going to do a great move in Franklin. There's an end-time revival coming. I don't know what I'm going to do. That was me over this building. I don't know what we're going to do. We got to get out of this building, but it's going to cost $8 million to build over there, and I don't know what we're going to do. And I heard faith coming out of my mouth for someone else. And my faith just got to the edge of my tongue and turned around and slapped me in the face. Said, you can tell everybody else that God will supply everything you need, but what's the problem here? I mean, God can give you $50 as much as he can give you $10 million. I mean, it's not a problem for him. I mean, we got people who roll up their joints with, $100 bills and smoke them. I mean, this is the land of plenty right here. God's got plenty of millionaires to pay for anything he needs, and he'll just take it from them and give it to the good. I mean, he'll just do it. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the saint. And so I'm ready to raid some wicked bank accounts, aren't you? I mean, I'm just ready to raid them. Let's just go get what we have. We need it right now. You know, and it's the same thing. God is a God of cyclicalness. I mean, he's the same God. He does the same stuff over and over and over. He's faithful. You know what I mean? When he's going to take Israel, he's going to take the Hebrews out of Egypt. He tells them to go to the house of the wicked and take what they need. I'm just saying. Don't knock a bank over or anything like that. But the disciples are going, I don't know how we're going to do that. I don't know. Jesus rolls his eyes and goes, bring me the food that we've got, the little bit. He breaks it and blesses it, and it's appropriate. The resources. If you listen to Satan in your own mind, you'll always see shortages. But Jesus always sees resources. We suppose, but God supplies. That's a song. Satan will show you lack, meagerness. He'll show you things to reinforce your fear. He'll lead you into fear, and he'll mock you while you're in it. He's a devil. But God shows you adequate. Number four, is this helping you? I'm doing this quickly. We know God's voice by how it relates to our circumstances. Many of us say, if I just didn't have this circumstance, I would do so and so. I'm going to get ugly. When I get to where I'm making enough money, I'll tithe. I'll be free-handed with my gifts once I have enough. You never will. That kind of thinking does not come from God. God knows your circumstances. If he didn't cause them, he will at least allow them. God will cause you to triumph in your circumstances and make those circumstances one day become very valuable to you. John Bunyan would have never written Pilgrim's Progress if he had been born into different circumstances. Most of us in this room waste our time wondering what would have happened if we hadn't have done this or we hadn't have done that. Am I identifying with anybody? How much time? Anybody here? Wasting time thinking, man, if I hadn't have done that, I'd have had. I remember one time many years ago in the early part of our marriage, we had saved $25,000. And when you're married to Amber, who spends the money the way she does, that's a miracle that we ever had that $25,000. She back there? Okay, I'm safe. I'm joking. It was a joke. We saw an investment come our way. We checked it out, thought it was great. Guess what? We lost $25,000. For several years, we lamented the $25,000. Many of the epistles in the New Testament were written by Paul while he was in jail. Practically every story in the Bible comes to us through circumstances. Moses before the Red Sea, Jesus for the hungry multitude, Daniel in the lion's den, three Hebrew children in the fire furnace, Paul in shipwreck. The whole Bible is a circumstantial book. It just comes in circumstances. Well, here's the problem. An old man and an old woman prophesied to have a baby. How many times has that happened? Barren wombs. Over and over in the Bible. It's the same. It's like, good Lord. He's trying to say something. But can I tell you, living safe is boring. And living on the edge is where God comes through. I like living on the edge. I don't like it, but I like it. Number five, God's voice is always known by his established ways. God works miracles. He doesn't work magic. He turns seed into harvest. And out of harvest, we make loaves. And out of loaves, we make more loaves. Satan, when he was tempting Jesus, wanted him to do magic by making bread out of stones. That's not how God works. Jesus has no need to be a show-off. God works by principle. An apple seed produces an apple. It always is an established thing with God. That's why giving to the Lord and giving to the poor is critically important, because it's called seed. Jesus says, with the measure you meet, it will be met to you again. Let me make that. I did this years ago. Let me make it so plain. Whatever spoon you're using to give, the Lord will use the spoon to bless you. If you're giving thimble size, if you're doing teaspoon, it comes time to bless you. God's saying, where's that teaspoon you've been blessing other people with? But see, you want dump truck blessings. And you're sowing teaspoon seed. Ouch. Yeah, just say ouch. Ouch is good. Ouch is good. It's just a fact. I don't have any friends. And you're the first one in the car before church is over. Of course you don't have any friends. We don't know who you are. You've been coming here 10 years. We don't know your name. Because you got to get somewhere important. We should put a sign in our lobby, say, loiter, please. The longer you hang around after church, the more people you get to know. And who knows, you might even, this is my hope every week, you might get a free lunch. You think I'm waiting around to be friendly? No, 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 I'm looking for free lunch. I'm thinking somebody's going, well, both the pastor preached really good today. I think I'll take him to lunch. But so a lot of times, sadly, me and Amber just pick our little pitiful self up. You get to know each other by hanging out. You hearing me? Number six, we know God's voice by its content. When God deals with you about something in your life that is wrong, he comes with conviction. The Holy Spirit will convict you. God will show you exactly what you've done. It's recognizable. It's usually something you've not confessed yet to him. It's something unforgiven. Most of the time, it's something in your immediate past, of like 24 hours or less. And after he has convicted you, he will always show an infinite, a definite solution. And he will show you that you need to obey and go back and make wrong things right. And then he'll give you relief from the pain of your soul. But Satan works through condemnation. Where God is definite and specific, Satan is always indefinite and vague. You feel guilty, but you can't understand why. He'll stimulate your imagination and get you all kinds of imagery. You'll have a hard time putting a finger on the issue unless something in your past that you've already confessed, Satan will show you the things and these things and bring them up to you, and you've already gotten forgiveness for them. And of course, it's always hopeless and has no solution. If a solution comes to mind, it's usually irrational or something unscriptural or something of soul pain that causes mental anguish. Pretty simple to know if God's dealing with you or not. The Holy Spirit's conviction gives definite answers. Condemnation is vague. I'm wrong, something's wrong, but I can't tell you what. Call condemnation. Name it what it is and quit acting like it's the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. Number seven, you can know God's voice by how he relates to you as a person. Even when he's rebuking the churches in Revelation, you will see that he rebuked them But before he did, he praised them. That's the sign of a good father. God will always leave your self-worth intact. This is so fundamental. Therefore, any mental attack on your self-worth will never come from God. Well, you're just a loser. That ain't God talking. Well, you always mess everything up. That ain't God talking. You're fat, ugly, and stupid. That ain't the Lord talking. You're inadequate for your marriage. You're a bad husband. You're a bad wife. That ain't the Lord talking. You're a bad father. You're a bad mother. You're not good with money. Nobody likes you. None of that's coming from the Lord. That's all beating up your self-worth. The Lord will always correct your behavior, but never condemn your value. After he kind of smacks you up a little bit and goes, straighten up, boy. Then he'll say, oh, by the way, let me tell you about the inheritance I have for you. I told Isaac when he was in his darkest place, one day I was praying for him and the Lord said, call Isaac. And I called him and I said, son, the goodness of God is being stored up waiting on you to say yes. He just wants to pour out his goodness, but you've got to agree with him. You know what he told me coming down the road yesterday? He's now my cameraman, have you noticed? He's posting all my stuff. If you don't like it, I don't care. He'll get better. But he's posting stuff for me all the time. He's wanting to shoot stuff all the time. You don't understand. That's the boy I couldn't get to do anything. We're all in shock. I have slack jaw every time he talks. Now I'm like, where have you been? You know what's so funny? He's back to where he was. I mean, sin makes you a different person. It turns you into someone else. Quick story. When Isaac was about this tall, he wanted a motorcycle. He wanted a 110 Honda. And down here at Cool Springs, Honda. I didn't have any money. I had nothing. I mean, we were traveling and the church was small and we were just doing our best to make it, right? I had nothing. And all he talked about was that 110 Honda, 110 Honda, 110 Honda. On the way home from church one day, I said, let's go by the Honda shop and just look at it. I don't think we can afford it, but let's just look at it. Oh, Papa, could we? I said, yeah, let's go. We'll go look. We went down there and he's out there. He gets on it. I mean, it's in the showroom and he's on it and he's playing the curves. He's working it. Man, he's like, man, is this cool? Samuel, is this cool? Is this cool? Oh, it's cool. Well, me, being a dad, I'm thinking, you know, let me just go talk to the finance manager and see if something can be worked out. So I go back and I'm in the office talking to the guy to find out what, you know, layaway looks like or something, you know, just something. And Sam comes in and says, Papa, I said, son, I'm busy with him. He said, no, you need to stop. I said, why? He goes, there's a problem. I said, what? He says, come out here. And I said, what's wrong? And he goes, well, just let me show you. I walked up and Isaac was standing by the bike and he had his hand on the bike and his countenance was down and his tears were falling off his face. And he goes, Papa, you can't afford this. Don't do this. You can't afford it. I'd sold Denver to get him that bike at that point. Right? Yeah, right? That was my boy. But for about 3 or 4 years, he was a selfish little jerk who thought of no one, unkind, unthoughtful. If you ask him to do anything, he'd do everything but what you ask him to do. Different person. When God got a hold of him recently, he's like, hey, Papa, could I do this for you? Could I do that for you? I'm like, I just can't believe you're back. It's like, whoa. Same guy. God's voice will contain the following elements. Is that okay? God sees good, lovely virtues, things that are worthy. He'll show you the good in others. He'll show you practical and simple ways to help other people. If you allow him, he will make you a channel of his love to others. He'll show you how to be a vessel of forgiveness. He'll show you how to reach out to offended people. You will become a partner in rebuilding broken people. Satan, on the other hand, will always show you the bad in others. Satan will, he's the instigator of revenge. What can I do to make them pay? This one, pouting. Oh, thank God I don't have a pouting wife. I'd send her to outer darkness. Alienation, the silent treatment. Ladies, if you're using that on your man, this is Satan, this ain't Jesus. Talk it out. My Lord, pouting? Are you kidding? What are we, 12? Pouting, alienation, degrading thoughts about others. That's how Satan works. Satan will show you how to be superior, spiritually arrogant. Boy, I met a few of those. You let me get in here, I'll get this church right. Now you just need to let me, I can fix it all. Everything's wrong with this church, I can fix it. Seen you before, you usually don't stay long. You're above everybody. But God, if it's not love, it's not God. Be cautious of getting into problems with others to the extent that you're praying against them. I've had people come up to me in services going, we're praying against our pastor, that God will give us a pastor who wants revival. I look at them and I go, stop it. That's witchcraft. When you're wishing bad things on people when you're praying, you have done something wrong, and you want to be, it's witchcraft. You can pray against situations, but you never pray against people. If you don't like our president, don't pray against him. Pray against the spirit. Don't pray against you. Anybody here? Be a bridge builder, not a bridge burner. Number 9. This is so painfully practical. God's voice always results in an increase of faith. Anytime I've ever heard God's voice, I always come away encouraged. Even when he rebukes me. He still brings encouragement. Be of good cheer. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Everything's going to turn out. Go ahead. Take the next step. He reminds me of his faithfulness. And Satan tries to get me to quit, freeze in fear, lose faith. What's the use? He tries to get me to believe that God has forsaken me, won't do anything more for me. He says everything will end in catastrophe. All my past failures to get me to shake in fear, not take the next step. You failed before, Lyndall. What makes you think it'll be different this time? You've been nothing but a failure. That's a devil. You know you've heard from God when you're comforted, corrected, and encouraged. And finally, the last one. God's voice always results in peace, hope, and gratitude. Peace. What God says won't produce worry. If you don't have peace, you haven't heard from God. Peace is the inner tranquility in a situation that clamors for your attention. An unexplained rest in the midst of chaos. Hope. Hope is the expectation of good in your life, a favorable good expectation concerning an unseen future, a happy anticipation of good things that are coming. And finally, gratitude. I'm grateful when I've heard from the Lord. I'm full of thanksgiving. I focus on what I have and not worry about what I don't have. Those are some basics of how to know if it's God that's talking to you. The third voice, don't listen. If you're confused, you're listening to the wrong voice. He'll never confuse you.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Grace Church, you can visit us online at gracechurchnashville.com and find us on Facebook, facebook.com/GraceChurchNash. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.